Welcome to The Daily Pause with your host, Brandon Johnson.
That's the wrong one.
It sounded like that's a Daily Pause.
Welcome to Wake the Bear Radio with your host, Brandon Johnson, Chris Hurst, and Ron Powers.
There's the bear, baby.
Daily pause. Yeah, we do have daily pauses. Welcome. This is Wake the Bear Radio tonight. Tonight we are missing one of our co-hosts, Chris Hurst, who's out. Chris. With family, probably doing what she does best. And so we wish her well. And tonight it's going to be Brandon Johnson and myself, Ron Powers, and we will be at the helm tonight. We had a little rough start there, just doing a daily pause. And that's a great plug to say that we do daily pauses at times where we do a deep dive or something really significant happened during the week. We might cover it. But the deep dives generally have been really good. I mean, I like yours, Brandon, when you dive into American history, trying to wake up the church and what their role was back in the colonial times and how influential they were. That's probably a sign that we should probably up that ante a little bit.
Yeah. So. Well, the daily pause is not all that we do. I mean, the radio show is not all that we do. Wake the Bear is dedicated to waking up Christians, waking up the church, waking up conservatives, waking up people to what's going on in California. The Bear is California, and she is waking up. We hear her roar. I love that roar in the beginning. And we're actually observing a phenomenon. I noticed this about 2 years ago. I'm starting to see online pretty radically patriots becoming Christians and Christians becoming patriots. And so there's this convergence going on where we come from a perspective that we're Christians. You don't have to be a Christian to love our show because we talk about a ton of stuff, but we are Christians. We come from a Christian perspective, but we're patriots. And we think deeply, theologically, philosophically about what's going on in the world. We ask questions. We challenge the narrative. That was going to be one of our earlier names for our show, question the narrative, because, you know, we came to the conclusion that the six mega corporations that control 90% of America's media are lying to people, and literally, and we're seeing it every day. We saw it through COVID. We see it this week. There's some big stories coming up. I'm excited about the stories tonight we're going to cover. But you know, there's just a lot of stuff that we've seen that really needs to be challenged, because we're not being given the news, the straight news. And this corporate stronghold that's over the media has to be broken. And we're seeing it broken. I mean, we're seeing Elon Musk buying Twitter and turning it into X. And we're seeing it grow in popularity and coverage. We're seeing it challenge a lot of the mainstream, with even Tucker Carlson leaving CNN. I mean, excuse me, not CNN. Tucker Carlson leaving Fox. They fired him just before he did his expose on January 6th. And he started talking about things like JFK assassination, 9/11. So he started really going into some areas that were controversial, and Fox seemed to fire him because of those reasons. So we're really committed to actually challenging the narrative, going into deeper, asking questions. We will be wrong on things. We will be misdirected sometimes, but we're trying to really press in and ask questions that a lot of journalists are not doing. And so, you know, that's basically what, you know, the show is about. We're going to continue to, you know, get excited about what God is doing, because we are excited that God is on the move and he's working through this state. And I do believe the bear is going to wake up. So it looks like I am on my own. Ron is telling me he just got kicked off. So I'm going to keep going and without him, and then he'll probably pop back in just a minute. So anyways, you might want to find out how to get a hold of us. Wake the Bear Radio is actually, we have a website, wakethebearradio.com, and we have all of our past shows on there, and I can show you those in a second, but wakethebearradio.com with all the past shows. If you type that in, wakethebearradio.com, and you look at, if you scroll into that, you can actually see all of the And in fact, I'm just going to share the screen with you, share it right now. Right here. Yeah, this is it right here. All right. So these are all the past shows. Can you see those? Oh, yeah. Okay. You can't see them. Now you can see them. Okay. Here are all the past shows. If you go on our radio show or our, if you go on our website, wakethebearradio.com, you can go on this little box here. You click here, and these are all the live shows. And then you scroll down, and here are all of our past shows. And we are actually on show number 130 tonight. Is it 130? 131. 130. Yeah. So we've had, we've been doing this for a good over two years now. I mean, it really came out of some deep soul searching, some prayer, discernment. You know, I got attacked a lot because I started to ask questions. I started to put pieces together. Even other pastors in Santa Cruz County were kind of attacking, and it was attacking my questioning and seeing that there's something going on. And I was okay with that a little bit. I mean, obviously, it doesn't feel good to have people attack you, but I felt like we're being lied to, and we need to do some deeper study and deeper research. And so I started doing that at the beginning of COVID. And, you know, I like to study. I like to study the Bible. I like to study history. I like to study government, philosophy, all the things that I, studied in seminary and Bible college, and trips around the world in the ancient Near Eastern cultures like Turkey, Egypt, Israel, Greece, Rome, France, I've did a lot of traveling and studying. And in that time, I learned a lot about the world, and I really wanted to share, and a lot about the gospel, the origins of the gospel, the origins of our nations. And so, come to COVID time, you put a pastor like me, our church is shut down for a couple of weeks, and I got lots of time on my hands, because I'm not preparing sermons. So I just started researching, asking questions, looking into 9/11, looking into the JFK assassination, and realizing, oh my gosh, there's a ton of stuff we're not seeing. We're not being told. And then I just started, we gotta wake people up. We gotta get people out there to actually ask questions they're not asking. So Ron and I started doing that. Chris and Ron and I got together and started doing that. And it's been just a wonderful, wonderful experience so far. And then the other thing we do is we actually do movie nights. Once a month, we'll show the Wake the Bear Radio Film Festival that we have. We did one in 2023, a couple months in a row. We did different shows like Out of the Shadows. We did Into the Light. The most recent one we did was Letter to the American Church. So we do films once a month. We do a weekly radio show. We do some daily pauses on our website. And all of these are meant to help wake the church up, wake up patriots, and get them in the game and stop sitting by the sidelines. And, the Bible, the Bible calls us to expose darkness. The Bible calls us to actually bring the darkness into the light. And then, and then there's that phrase, the pen is more mighty than the sword. Like, we're not calling people for revolution. We're calling people to a reformation of their thinking. And that will then transform this country. So that's what we're really focused on. If you want to ever get a hold of us, like, hey, you guys are off on something, you think we're wrong, yeah, check out, you can email us, Brandon@wakethebearradio.com, Chris@wakethebearradio, Chris with a K, K-R-I-S, @wakethebearradio.com, and Ron@wakethebearradio.com. You can get a hold of any of us anytime you want, and we'd love to hear from you. Tell us what you loved about the show or the movie. Tell us what you thought we got wrong, and we're okay because we can learn and grow. And that's what we're into this for. So anyways, tonight's show, it looks like we got Ron back. Tonight's show, Ron. Yeah. What's the show's name, Ron?
Oh man, power went out. I tell you, it goes out all the time, but not during our show. So I'm glad you held it down. I didn't know what would happen with StreamYard. So looks like everything's still going, and
yeah.
Awesome.
So you have the power go out, and you have the generator on now?
I have a generator. It's just a slight hum in the background. You might see a blink when it's off, and I'm back on the main power. But they're probably just preparing for the next blackout, just testing things out.
Yeah, being in the mountains, we're used to this. This is a daily life for us. We get the power. I mean, there's probably 25 days a year that I don't have power. So maybe 20, but
It's not a lot.
All at once.
way more than it should be.
Yeah. So we have us mountain men, we have to prepare ahead of time, have a generator backup ready to go.
Yep. So, let's jump into it. Let's go with what's on next. Okay.
All right. So, well, tonight's title is Bloodbath Gate. The legacy media does it again. This is a big one. We've seen this before. When Trump says what he says, people don't like it. They twist it to mean something slightly different than what he meant by it. This just happened again in Vidalia, Ohio. There was a rally in Vidalia, Ohio, and Trump was making some pretty controversial statements, as he always seems to do. And this one was and I'm going to pull it up. He's talking about what happens car industry if he isn't elected again. Let me share that right here.
That was good. It was good coverage. I saw that.
Yeah. And Elon Musk reposted it, and I'm loving Elon Musk. We got a story about him tonight as well with Don Lemon. You'll be talking about in a moment, but check this out. So this is what the media narrative said. Trump says there's going to be a bloodbath if he loses. In Ohio rally, Trump says there will be a bloodbath. Trump says there will be a okay. So he said there was going to be a bloodbath, but what did he mean by it when he was saying there was a bloodbath? They were insinuating that he's saying that he's going to get his followers to enact violence, which of course he never says that. You know, even if he says peacefully walk in protest, they censor him and then they say he said something he didn't say. So let's check out what he actually said, shall we?
Mexico has taken over a period of 30 years, 34% of the automobile manufacturing business in our country. Think of it, went to Mexico. China now is building a couple of massive plants where they're going to build the cars in Mexico and think that they're going to sell those cars into the United States with no tax at the border. Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole. That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. But they're not going to sell those cars. They're building massive factories. A friend of mine,
Okay, so here's the thing about this, and I think that this is interesting. He didn't say anything about violence. He's talking about cars, and then you hear in the background people yelling from the crowd, and he pauses. He says it again. He's almost like listening to what they're saying to him, and then he decides to keep going. And he says, well, the automobile industry is going to be the least of your worries. There's going to be a bloodbath. Now, he is not saying, oh, I'm telling all my people that you should now riot. But, that's what the legacy media is trying to say he said. And of course he did not. They're importing their view of him on to these words and saying that's what he meant by it. Oh, well, that's what you meant. Oh, how do you know what he meant?
They imported insurrection, people, grandma's taking selfies, nobody's armed, and yet they've created a violent insurrection, narrative. So they're doing the same thing, just the second verse. It's very disappointing, very crazy at the same time.
Yeah. And the entire media, Mockingbird Media, that's actually a formal term. That was an Operation Mockingbird, where the CIA infiltrated into the media. It goes back to the Church Committee on the floor of Congress back in the 70s, where the Church Committee asked the CIA if they have imported assets into media and entertainment. And they said yes. Okay. And it was found out that they had 400 assets. CIA had assets in our media, in our news organizations, speaking the message that they want everybody to hear, not actually doing impartial journalism. And so that's what you're seeing is that, and we're talking back in the 70s. I mean, in the 80s. Okay. So and I've said this before, but in 1983, we had 50 independent news organizations, and they were all vying for positions, right? They're, you know, independent organizations. Well, now we only have six organizations that control, mega corporations that control 90 to 95% of all media in America. Now that shifted when Elon Musk bought X, you know, and now we're, and I spend a lot of my time on Twitter and X looking at what are these, you know, what's going on in the world. And basically it's an unfiltered source. You're actually getting the right articles. You're actually having people ask the right questions. They're asking questions at all, right? There's a couple of topics tonight we'll talk about where the media just dropped the ball on one of the most important stories, you know. So,
yeah. And I did see quite a few videos. I don't have them loaded up or anything, where the media uses bloodbath all the time. You know, all the time, lots of them. Every one of those mainstream media co-hosts on their news items would say, this is going to be a bloodbath. You know, nobody gets called for that. And it's used in the same context, you know. So it's really a double standard for sure. Right. You know,
and they've decided that how they want to characterize Trump and the MAGA movement is they want to make them violent. And, you know, going back to Jesse Smollett's pretend, you know, when he was hired his friends to pretend like they were going to kidnap him. Right. And then you've got the Covington kids on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, and they didn't do anything wrong, but the media changed all of these made up stories.
Yeah. The news at the race car, you know, the races, a garage door handle to pull down, you know, and they were on all of them. Yeah. Absolutely creating, you know, the whole thing with Christian nationalist, as we talked about the last few weeks, you know, the new bad word, and, you know, the nationalists, it's white supremacy, you know, all of these things, you know, as if you see videos of white people beating up minorities. I don't see them. And believe me, they would be all over. I don't see them. You know what I see? I see the opposite.
Yeah.
And we had a horrific story just this last week where, you know, a poor girl got beat and she's in a coma now. And I couldn't even watch the video all the way through. You know, the girl had her on the ground, just banging her head on the ground. You know, these are high school kids fighting, you know, big, but it, you know, it was definitely a, you know, person of color that, smashed her brains, you know, it's just, so yeah, it's one way only.
Right. So. And I think what the hardest part about that is that, you know, we have come so far in this country. And, you know, going back to when Britain, you know, made the transatlantic slave trade illegal, one of the Christian Christian lawyer, you know, fought for that. And they said, oh, Christians, stay out of politics. And he's like, no, this is wrong. And he flipped it, you know, William Wilberforce in England. And then America was the second major city, you know, country to outlaw slavery. And then we, you know, the civil rights movement with Martin Luther King Jr. and just some of the things he said, you know, about this is we're going to be a country that's going to follow our mantra that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. And there are certain people that are being not fully equal. And so we've gotten past gotten past most of it. I mean, there is no systemic legal racism going on in the country anymore. And if there was, it would be shut down right away. So we've come a long way. And I mean, all God's children, you know, I love that. Think that song when I was a kid, you know,
red and yellow, black and white.
We are precious in his sight. Right. So all of us are made in the image and likeness of God, every tribe, every tongue, every nation. And so it's not right for anybody to have hate towards anybody else, especially because of race. So, I think we've come a long way, but the media is trying to create race war. That's a Marxist tactic to turn people into groups and then fight against each other.
Absolutely. And you know why they're doing it? Because they're afraid of one man. And let me just share, in case those have forgotten, this is a great little video clip.
As perhaps the worst president in the history of the United States! At real Donald Trump. Well, at real Donald Trump. At least I will go down as a president.
I know people have talked to you about whether or not you want to run. Would you ever?
Never got so bad. I would never want to rule it out totally.
A new world order.
These allegations are false. Weapons of mass destruction. The USA Patriot Act.
The blueprint for large corporations.
Once were, we are no longer a Christian nation.
Donald Trump confirmed that he is considering a run in 2016.
Do it.
I am officially running for President of the United States.
He will never be President of the United States.
Donald Trump will never be elected President of the United States.
And people are watching these results come in. I would not
lend a hand. We are going to make this decision now. Donald Trump will be the 45th president of the United States.
Does it ever seem to you that President Trump has done more than any president in modern history?
In the 10 years I've been involved in politics, I've never seen an administration hit the ground running like this.
I could spend the rest of the hour laying out the accomplishments under the Trump presidency, despite everything thrown at him. The
market just had its 12th straight record close.
Taking action to save as many kids as they can.
We were energy independent under the Trump administration.
More Americans reported being employed than ever.
Helping those who have served our country in the military to get access to mental health care.
The Great American Outdoors Act is the largest single piece of legislation to support our national parks and public lands.
Created more than 7 million good paying jobs.
Websites can be held liable in court for having sex trafficking content.
The Abraham Accords, which for any other president would have been multiple peace prizes.
America did not enter into a foreign war.
Unemployment rate in the U.S. fell to 3.5%.
The First Step Act eases federal sentencing for nonviolent offenders.
Increased funding for historically black colleges and universities.
Allows terminally ill patients easier access to experimental drugs.
Kept the inflation rate low.
Honored with the Bipartisan Justice Award.
Had a massive MS-13 gang problem. 3.9% is the unemployment rate.
Requiring airports to provide lactation rooms for breastfeeding mothers.
Middle class family income increased nearly $6,000.
A dramatic escalation in his crackdown on illegal immigration.
An advocate for educational choice.
Tariffs on Mexico and Canada.
An act preventing animal cruelty and torture.
Taking out Baghdadi, the head of ISIS, Soleimani, the Iranian general.
Save Our Seas Act, commitment to environmental issues.
We're saying Merry Christmas again.
Community development in low-income urban and rural communities.
Help us to remember the importance of fighting off tyranny.
Pulling out of UNESCO, the World Health Organization, the Paris Climate Accords, reassessing NATO and the United Nations.
Stood up for Christianity and the Constitution more than any president in American modern history.
We are stopping the attacks on Judeo-Christian values.
Do you miss me yet?
Oh my gosh.
That is such a list.
That's a great
we gotta
video.
Remember that.
Yeah.
That is why they are absolutely freaking out right now. Because people just have to remember that and they'll go, my goodness, look at today. And so they make up these bloodbath and this hoax and that hoax. But we saw what happened. We saw what was happening in this country. And so anyway, it was a good reminder. That was from Flyover Conservatives. It's a great group of people, or a husband or wife. I would say look them up on X or Rumble or any of those. They're on Cloud Hub. They do a good podcast. So anyway, yeah.
Great. Yeah. It's interesting, another stuff that's going on with Trump today and possibly a lie is the Washington Post, or as Trump likes to call it, the Washington Compost. They put out an article today saying that Trump is unable to finance an appeal bond for at least $450 million, lawyers say. So, whenever that says something like that at the end, lawyers say, you're like, yeah. Okay, so is he not able to, or is he able to? Like, one, $450 million is a ridiculous amount of money to demand any person on the planet to have to put together to get an appeal bond for defending themselves in court, and they're purposely trying to destroy him. And it's interesting because they're basically, if he can't put together an appeal bond, then he basically will have to They'll start trying to seize his assets. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to break him. They're trying to, this is election interference. They're going to try to slander him, continue to slander him through the media. They're going to try to go after him with lawfare, you know, warfare, and with using the legal system and corrupted legal system. And then they're going to try to bury him financially. They're trying to do whatever they can to stop him because they're scared to death of him. And I think that video shows why is he's, even though he is a wealthy person that's been kind of on the inside, he's really been on the outside because he loves this country. He loves his country more than he loves, you know, Republicans. More than he loves Democrats, more than he loves independent. He loves the country more. I mean, even when he ran as a Republican, they were like, are you sure you're going to run as a Republican? Well, maybe. What I really want to do is change the country. Like, in some ways, we almost need a new party. You know, I feel, you know, feel the same way. I ran for a position on the seat here in Santa Cruz County for the Republican Central Committee. But that's because I'm trying to help reform the Republican Party. If I don't, you know, I don't know what mechanism we're going to use to save our country. I mean, obviously God is in control, but he's given us tools and, you know, we need to, like, you know, fight with the tools we've been given. And the Republican Party is the closest thing to what I can think of as, you know, the original ideals of this country. You know, they're the ones that freed slaves. The Republican Party is the one that's been, you know, fighting for economic freedom and constitutional freedoms for families. In the Republican Party, some of the rhinos are actually talking about getting rid of natural marriage out of their platform and getting rid of pro-life out of their platform. I mean, are you kidding me? You might as well just become a demonic Democrat. So what I see in this is that Trump is trying to reform the party back to its original roots. And he's trying to change the country, trying to put it back to its original roots as well. And the Republican Party is the best vehicle to do that with right now. But there might come a time today when we got to have a whole new party.
Yeah. You know, it's very interesting that he keeps on bringing up election interference. You know, I was going to play it, but I don't think I'm going to play it tonight. It was Derek Johnson. He was on Elijah Streams.
Yeah.
And he talks about that we are under a military occupation right now. And this whole thing, you know,
devolution.
It's all planned out, devolution. And one of the things he's doing right now is he is pointing out election interference. And so these judges that are doing this isn't just lawfare and stuff. This is actually election interference. And he keeps bringing that up because what he's doing is he's stating the public record. Hey, this is what they've done. And this all was enacted by his executive order right before he left. He did, or actually, I'm sorry, in 2018, 13-something-4, I can't even remember it, 48048. And it talks about foreign, yeah. And so Derek Johnson has a book. I would highly recommend it from what I've heard. I have not read it myself, but I plan on buying a copy because he goes over everything. He calls it more of a workbook rather than a book because it's not his opinion. He is just pointing at government documents and showing how this country is actually under a military occupation and that President Trump. And he even used an example just recently happened, you know, when they he went down to the border. I think Biden went down to a border and then actually 300 and something miles away from the border. But he went to Texas and then President Trump actually went to the border. I think it was El Rio. Not Rio Grande. Anyway, he went along the border and he met with the Anatolian general, he called it, and the governor. And when you have those three meeting together, it showed that the federal, the National Guard is under wartime or it's federalized. And anyway, he goes into all this great detail and I can't even explain it. In fact, I will put that interview on the show notes, Elijah Streams, this interview, because it's really, really, it was really good. Anyway, I think a lot of this is being played out so we can see the crimes since he did that executive order. You're saying, you know, so anything before him, you're not really going to get them for it. But this executive order says, hey, if you're involved in election interference that, you know, with foreign and domestic entities. And there you go. Department of Law for Wartime. It's a wartime manual on how to devolution, continuity of government. It keeps going.
Yeah, but this manual came right off of the Department of Justice website, .gov. I pulled it off of. And actually, and I'll share this one other screen with you. This is one of the pages of one of these screenshots that talks about what's actually going on right now is that we're in a period of status of belligerent occupation. When a gun of the government is under the authority of another government, there's a period of time. And it says, you know, the status of belligerent occupation ends when the conditions for the application, are no longer met. Certain obligations with respect to occupied territory continue for the duration of the occupation after the general close of military operations. So 11-3, I don't know if that's a very interesting number. 11-3 is November 3rd, right? But it also happens to be the numbers in this manual. And there was a lot of different posts that were made about 11-3, and everybody thought they were talking about the election. And they weren't. I think they were talking about this point in what is occupation. Belligerent occupation ceases when the conditions for its application are no longer met. In particular, as discussed below, the status of belligerent occupation ceases when the invader no longer factually governs the occupied territory, or when the hostile relationship no longer exists between the state of the occupied territory and the occupied power. So belligerent occupation ends when the occupying power no longer effectively has placed the occupied territory under its control. So interesting here is that what's happening is that there are two presidents, and this was a prophecy given by Kim Clement. There is the president who is the president by vote of the, a coup vote, basically a fake election. And President Biden is the president of the bankrupt corporation of America. But President Trump is still the president of the United States of America based on the Constitution. So these are interesting claims. I mean, these are the types of things that Derek Johnson talks about, Kash Patel talks about. We've talked about them a long time ago, but it's been a while since we brought it up. And you're right. I think that book by Derek Johnson is really going to reveal, like you said, it's not really a book. It's more of a workbook, because you actually have to go research, look it up yourself. I'm going to buy it and do the research myself, and maybe even cut it up and put it into a three ring binder with the Declaration of Independence in there and the Constitution of the United States, and just go back and forth and work through it and to see what is actually taking place in this period of military occupation that's going on.
Yeah, it's interesting. When Trump did go down in February 28th, I think was the time he went down to the border, he said, "You are witnessing a military operation, a military operation." He says it twice. And so it's like, well, what's he talking about? So there were a lot of what people thought were some comms that were being dropped at that time. So nothing is as it seems. And we will see what plays out. Definitely see what's playing out.
And we need, and this is the big thing, is we need actual journalists doing actual journalism, right? And I love this short clip by Denzel Washington. Check this out.
If you don't read the newspaper, you're uninformed. If you do read it, you're misinformed.
What do you do?
That's a great question. What is the long-term effect of too much information? One of the effects is the need to be first, not even to be true anymore. So what a responsibility you all have to tell the truth, not just to be first, but to tell the truth. We live in a society now where it's just first. Who cares? Get it out there. We don't care who it hurts. We don't care who we destroy. We don't care if it's true. Just say it. Sell it. Anything you practice, you'll get good at, including BS.
Hold on. Interesting, huh?
Absolutely. And it's definitely true. I mean, that takes us to the whole thing about the pandemic, it wasn't true, but they wanted to be the first out, and they were telling people they were dying and, run for the hills and stuff like that. And it's only later that things come out to where it's like, hey, you know what? Maybe this isn't so true after all, and here was a great example here. You know, the CDC, they released a paper on myocarditis. We've heard all these people dropping, you know, they've been dropping out of the, just, you know, they're on TV, they're in sports, and started some investigation. So anyway, they have that. And let me play this clip. This is what the CDC provided.
For the vaccine. Paper's there, and there's nothing printed on it. I find that very interesting, disheartening, disgusting, and lots of other words. But then it gets better. It just keeps, wait, there's more. It just keeps happening. The CDC redacts every single word of a 148-page study on a myocarditis after COVID vaccination. So I asked research to print the study for me. 148 pages. The entire thing is redacted. What good does a study do if there's nothing there? Then I want to know, wait, what might have been there that they needed to redact it? That's even scarier.
We're witnessing an active cover-up of a colossal consumer product safety debacle that is basically affecting the entire world. So in the United States, our CDC.
Anyway, you get the point there. You know, it so we have this redaction, and it's a bunch of blank pages, you know.
Pages.
But, you know, the media was so quick, as you had said. Or Denzel Washington said, they were so quick, they wanted to be fair. Oh, look, people are dying. And this is what they say, and this is the truth. And they suppressed anything else because they came out and they didn't have their facts. They didn't have any research. And then they just totally, you know, censored everyone else. They wanted their fake but first news story to be held up, you know. And so They held it out in front of the public. And now we can't even get the truth. And I mean, there's obviously a cover-up. It's just crazy. And people need to wake up out there. You need to wake other people up there. If, whether you had the shot or not, the truth is what you want to know. You want to know what you did, what you put in your body. Hopefully it was saline. Maybe, you know, not everyone got the same shot, but I would rather know the truth. I would rather know what's coming in, what went in and stuff like that. Not that I took it. I didn't, but yeah.
Yeah, I think that's key. I think you're key here, Ron, in that this was something that people just believed without question that they were being told, you know, and there was billions of dollars spent in media. I mean, Pfizer sponsored CNN for like the last 10 years. They're one of the greatest sponsors of CNN, sponsored by Pfizer, sponsored by. So these corporations, these pharmaceutical corporations were buying out the media to get them to then believe and do what they wanted them to say. And so the most trusted name in news became the most lying rag on the news. I mean, they were basically purchased, bought out, you know, captured media by these interests of these huge pharmaceutical companies. And I know we've talked about this before, but it's like, people need to hear this. There are people that are still think the injections were good. I mean, we live in Santa Cruz County and I drive around with my truck and I have stickers on the back and I still get people that don't like my stickers because it's like, you know, medical, you know, extortion to tell people they have to put something in their body. And I have stickers on the back of my car that talk about that. And, you know, and there's still people that are totally asleep and they think that they did the right thing by taking the vaccine and they're not even looking at the other side of it.
Yeah. You know, speaking of a shot, we talk about those shots. Well, there's some other shots that really concern me. And this is an opportunity to get ahead of the news this time before you get lied to. But you've heard this whole notion about, hey, you know, an illegal army is being built up. You know, they're all military age coming over from all over the world, from a lot of hostile countries. And people are like, yeah, you know. But, you know, that's what's happening. And this if this doesn't freak you out, I don't know what will. So the Patriot Voice, he said, an Obama-appointed federal judge just ruled that illegal immigrants can carry guns in the United States. So you can come here legally. And it's showed on the Epoch Times as well. Illegal immigrant can carry guns. Federal judge here rules this. That should be very concerning to anybody. I mean, absolutely concerning. Because, I mean, you and I can't just walk around, especially in California, you know, concealed carry. I mean, you have to have an okay from a sheriff, and most sheriffs are bought out. You know, if you got a good sheriff, and he can make his own judgment call, but most of them are just toting the party line who got him in, and they won't allow you to conceal carry. So, but here, an illegal immigrant. So, you know, I don't know. That's just another thing. And especially some of these, you know, we already know what's happened. I mean, poor, what is it, Lake and Riley, you know? I mean, there is ex-convicts that coming in that have been busted before and to come out of prison, and they just ship them up here. I mean, can they actually have guns? And the thing is, do they even have guns legally from where they came from? They may have not been able to have a gun there, and yet they can have one here because they're an illegal alien, you know. So that's just, again, something very concerning. And got to pay attention to that. That is not a conspiracy theory.
Yes.
And it also means that, you know, as Elon Musk brought up that, you know, the Democrats, if they're trying to give them illegal immigrants the ability to vote. And if they can't, they will lose. So if they can, they will gain 20 seats
in
representatives because they're two mostly blue areas. And that shores up their vote even more. But he projects that 20 seats, and that means 20 electors for Electoral College, because it's kind of calculated the same way. So there's definitely a motivation to get the illegal vote. I mean, what else can explain just the millions of people pouring over? I mean, what else can explain that? Where Texas wants to enforce immigration policies that are on the books, and the Biden administration decides they want to sue the state of Texas to keep them from doing it. Why would you do that? Why? I mean, it's just like, we need to wake up, you know?
Look.
This is not, oh, we care for the whole world thing. This is, I mean, you know, kids are being trafficked. I mean, the whole thing on that, bringing kids over unaccompanied. Oh, they're going to, you know, Aunt so-and-so or Uncle so-and-so's. They don't check any ID. And it's just like, oh, man, this is a drug trafficker, or, I mean, a child trafficker's dream come true.
Yeah. Well, and that's what we've heard from Operation Underground Railroad, is that whenever there is this type of chaos and lawlessness, and this is when it affects the weakest of our communities the most, and that's children. Children, you know, they're bringing in these children unaccompanied because they're letting them do it. You know, they're letting them. It's just the lawlessness creates the opportunity. The traffickers call it harvest time. War and lawlessness is when they can make their most money on these poor innocent people. Interesting. Kakoa the Great on X actually said, one, these are the things that are going on. One, flood the country with untold millions of illegals by land, sea, and air from all over the world, enough to eclipse the population of 36 individual U.S. states so far. Two, prioritize the needs of these millions of non-citizens over the needs of the American citizens with free flights, buses, hotels, meals, phones, now guns, ensuring their loyalty to the political party that imported them. Three, keep them in the country at all costs, even when they commit violent crime like murder, rape, attack language used to describe, attack the language that and used it to describe them as criminals and be opposed to that, so that the criminals themselves, and so slander critics as racist. So anybody who has a problem with it, you're a racist. Four, ensure their privileges are made irrevocable with city and state sanctuary laws that act as a population magnet, codify their permanent status, and assure non-cooperation with ICE. Five, count the non-citizen in the census that will determine congressional appointment in the House of Representatives. As of now, that would equal 13 extra congressional districts, a tremendous amount of electoral power. Six, wage a massive heavenly funded lawfare campaign to change the state voting laws that legalize mass mail-in ballots so no signatures are verified and no proof of citizenship is required, making it nearly impossible to prove or prevent voter fraud. Seven, lock in the permanent voting majority with the campaign promises of lavish benefits. Some of them are getting $10,000 a month on their card, and permanent privileges, enshrining generational fealty to the Democratic Party, and 8, win the elections, 9, entrench single-party rule that has been achieved. So this is the destruction of a Western, what, you know, the Western world, and a specific America. One of the men who are behind that is George Soros, who says he hates America. And so he's funding non-government organizations that are funding and making this all happen. This is what we're up against, folks.
Yeah, this is it's just really, really sad state of affairs, to be, you know, to be accurate on that. It's really sad. You know, another thing, you know, why don't we move on over to another big thing that happened this past week, which was Don Lemon. He apparently was going to have a show on X, and he got dropped before he even started, which actually I find really very interesting, because I think Elon Musk just knows how to work things. You know, Don Lemon has definitely a different audience than MAGA, you know? Right. And so he talks to all those that are just brainwashed, never Trumpers, you know, woke society. He's a woke poster boy. And I remember, I mean, to me, I have very little respect for him, not only as a journalist, but as a human being. You know, he's the guy that stuck his hand down his pants, rubbed himself, and stuck it in some guy's face because, you know, he misinterpreted what the guy had said. You know, it's just like, just really disgusting. Some of the things he did. Yeah. And that was all caught on camera, by the way. And it was just like, geez, you know. But anyway, he had an interview with Elon Musk. He interviewed Elon Musk. Elon Musk agreed to have this interview. And at the end, he's like, I don't even want to have an interview with you. The only reason why I'm doing it is because you're on X, you know? And, it was after that interview that he just dropped him. He realized how toxic I think Don Lemon was. Yeah. Don Lemon, before I do some of these clips, you know, the reasons why he didn't get his show is because, like a little spoiled brat, you know, he wanted all these extra things. So he wanted, you know, if you're going to have me, I want a, you know, a Tesla Cybertruck. I want an $8 million salary to be on your X, $5 million in advance right now. I want equity in X. I want the power to approve X policy changes. So now he wants to start to control things. I want a private jet flight to Vegas for this interview. I want a suite for him and his fiance. He wanted X to pay for their day drinking and massages. And the last one on this list was he wanted to host the first podcast in space via SpaceX one day. So he wants to go into space, you know. And so, I mean, he just had this weird wish list. And, you know, he's a failing, fired, you know, CNN employee. And Elon's
got fired again, huh?
Yeah, Elon's like, nope, don't need you. Don't need you at all. But he did do this interview, and Benny Johnson really showed a couple good clips. So let me just jump to it, because there's a whole bunch that we could, you know, go with. So one thing was, so Don Lemon was saying, hey, you are promoting hate speech, you know. And so they went back and forth, and Elon's like, hey, well, let me just play the clip rather than try to explain it. So I'll just play a little bit of the clip. There's a bunch of clips on different topics. I thought that was pretty good, though.
Content moderation, though, a digital chastity belt. Do you think that you believe that X and you have some responsibility to moderate hate speech on the platform?
I think we have a responsibility to adhere to the law, and we have a responsibility to be transparent about when things are shown, why they're shown. That's why we open source our algorithm. I think once you start going beyond the law, now you're putting your thumb on the scale, and we don't want to put our thumb on the scale.
It doesn't concern you that hate speech has gone. Research shows that it's gone up on the platform since you took over. That's not concerning to you?
I believe that is false. In fact, the research that I've seen says it went down.
The study from the Institute of Strategic Dialogue found that anti-Semitic tweets doubled from June 22 to February 2023. One study reported that as many as 86% of the posts reported for hateful content remained up after being reported. Hate speech on the platform is up.
So what they will typically do is they will count the number of posts, but not count the number of views. So what matters is, was that post given high visibility, or what did like one person see it? And if you look at the number of views of how many times was hate content viewed on our platform, it is down substantially.
Yeah. Well, that's not was what the study shows. And you said you like transparency. I'm going to show you this. And
Don, you can get a study that will tell you whatever you want.
But these are just a handful of extremely, you look at those anti-Semitic and racist tropes.
So he goes through this, you know, this example. But at the end of this little clip, I think he just basically tells Don.
Is suggesting we should shut down the internet?
No, but you don't own the internet. I'm asking you about you and your responsibility and your platform. And so I see how you feel now. You don't agree. We don't agree on this.
Yes, you want censorship and I don't.
No, I don't want censorship.
Yes, you do.
No, I want responsibility. I think there.
You desperately want censorship.
No, if I want a censorship.
You want censorship so bad you can taste it.
No, that's not true.
Yeah. So,
yes, it is.
So what they argued over was, hey, can't you moderate? So he's saying, can't you moderate this? And Elon Musk fires back and says, moderation is simply a propagandist word for censorship.
Yeah.
You know, you're putting, again, he said over and over, you're putting your thumb on the scale. You're going beyond the law. And so at one point he said, you know, I've done everything within the law. And he says, and he goes, well, what about this? He goes, is that illegal? He goes, no. He goes, and then it basically made his point. Well, it's not against the law. Then I'm not going to do anything more. He really wants to be a champion of free speech. And right. So I thought that was a really good, some good coverage there.
Right. He literally said, free speech is when people you don't like are able to say things you don't like, because then it has no meaning whatsoever. Because if you're not like the only speech that you don't like, the only way you can have free speech is if people who say things you don't like are allowed to say them, even if they're abhorrent, even if you don't like them, they're going to be judged in the public square, rather than judged by us and censored. That's let the people, let the American people, who are by far and large not racist, not hateful, let them judge whether something is wrong or not, or take it to the courts and make a law. But I'm not going to judge it myself. I'm not going to be put myself in the position of controlling and monitoring, which is censorship, free speech.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then part of that censorship, you know, they get on the topic of wokeness. And, you know, you're saying that, hey, woke's a mind virus. That's what Elon Musk is saying, you know. And you know, so Don fires at him and is saying, hey, you know, you made a comment about lowering standards. Are you suggesting to minorities and women need lower standards? Are you, you know, why did you say that? It sounds like you're calling people. And he was just basically saying, you know, you look at a good example is entrance exams for medical students. You know, he says, you know, they have lowered that. And do you want that? You know, do you want a doctor that would have normally failed the exam to pass because they wanted to include more? He says, you know, you should judge everybody on their people, on their skills, their integrity, and just focus on that. And don't focus on things like gender and race. And, you know, because what happens is when you get these quotas, oh, we need to, you know, and I have a personal experience. You know, I had a sister-in-law who did not get accepted into a particular program at one time, but her roommate did. And her roommate had lower scores, but because she was of a certain ethnicity, they, you know, and they wanted to do a quota, they let her in and not, you know, so it wasn't based just on, you know, their skill set. And so basically Elon Musk is saying, hey, let's just focus in on that. And he says, you need to quit talking about race. And he's, and then Don, you know, fires back saying, hey, you know, we need to bring it to people's minds and their attention. He goes, no, because by doing that, it's never going to go away. We've made great strides and you keep bringing it up over and over and over, race it, you know, and it really what it does is it starts to generate, you know, you start recognizing any little inequality and you start fixating on it. And all of a sudden you've got race wars and all that stuff. So that was one of the things.
And you're no longer judging people by the content of their character, but by the color of their skin, which is exactly what makes Martin Luther King Jr. turn in his grave. Like he had a dream that it would be based solely upon competition of character and skills and a meritocracy, that America would really be a meritocracy, and that white people and black people and whatever race you were wouldn't get a preferred treatment. It has nothing to do with color of skin. And the whole reverse discrimination, the whole, you know, DEI, all of that is the opposite of what Martin Luther King Jr. taught and preached. I mean, opposite. And he said, you don't need to prop us up. We don't need any help. We just don't need to be pushed down. Right.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. You know, and you devalue the things that are important when you focus in on things like race, gender, and all that stuff, instead of, you know, the things they stand for. I want to play one more clip because it was a short one. Just the finishing about, you know, he talks about, you know, is X now like a total right wing MAGA thing? And so let me just show you what the response is here.
That it's right now, and that even it's moved into sort of MAGA land. No,
I certainly don't think it's right. The old school Twitter suspended and suppressed accounts that you'd call on the right 10 times more than they did accounts on the left. And even when they did suspend an account on the left, it was because of arguments between two people on the left. The political donations of old Twitter were 99% Democrat. Does that sound left-wing or right-wing to you?
The Twitter donations?
Yes. You know, when they look at donations from a company, if a company donates literally 99% of all donations are to Democrats, does that strike you as a left-leaning or a right-leaning
company?
You
mean the company donated? I understand what you're saying.
What I'm trying to tell you is that Twitter employees, people at Twitter, their political donations were 99%, literally 99%, to Democrats. That's obviously an extremely left-leaning group.
Do you agree that it's...
So what he was saying is, I haven't turned anything into like a MAGA, you know, Don suggesting that it's total MAGA. He's saying, hey, I'm just trying to bring back balance.
Balance.
It was 99%. That is like a total woke, agenda. Company. And so any shift, you're going to notice it. It doesn't mean that you jumped into the lap of, MAGA land, as Don would say. He was just saying, hey, I'm just trying to bring, balance to it. So you're
I love how Don pretended like he didn't get what Elon was saying. Like, Don is way sharper than that. He pretended like he couldn't quite understand what you were saying. Like, anybody watching that goes, oh, yeah, I know exactly what he's saying. 99% of the people are paying or giving money to Democrats. Does that sound like a balanced organization to you? I mean, he said it very clearly. And Don is a little bit more articulate than Elon is under pressure. So Don is trying to capitalize on that right now and pretend like he doesn't understand what he's saying.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, I know that there were a lot of dark things, you know, frustrating things you see.
Well, one
we talked about.
Yeah. One last thing that we want to talk about is that, you know, and it goes along with this whole topic, is that Elon reposted the most underreported dropped story in 2023. The most under-discussed story was that a federal district court judge upheld a unanimous appellate panel and found that the Biden White House and the FBI committed one of the gravest attacks on the First Amendment in decades by coercing big tech to censor dissent online. So literally what they're debating, Don and Elon are debating, is exactly proven that if the government can coerce media to tell them to like not put the other side out there, then they're actually violating the First Amendment. And that was just found to be true. And guess what? The 95% of the media that is controlled by the Democrats aren't even telling this story. And it's the greatest attack. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, these guys are not liberals. They are leftists, because a true liberal would be pissed at that.
Yeah.
That took place. My friends who are liberals would be pissed at this. But the problem is there's this movement so far left, and it's not even left. It's leftist. It's tyrannical to say that that's not something wrong with that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely underreported. And what was interesting is that was reposted. It happened in September, but it was reposted yesterday by Elon, just bringing it back. And that's one of the nice things about social media. You can bring back things. So people that forget, it's like, hey, remember this? This was proven. And it was actually a CNBC coverage of that, the biggest censorship, you know, with the White House and the FBI coercing social media. That was a coverage by CNBC. And so he was just reminding people, hey, look, even your media reported this, but it's been really underreported. I mean, you know, they didn't talk about it. They didn't spend that. They'll just do it to check that box, you know? So yeah, very, it's frustrating, you know, to be honest, it's frustrating to see things like this and it doesn't get front page news. No one talks about it, you know, and, but you know, there are some good things. There are some good things happening in this world. And one of the things I ran across this week that just really gave me hope that, you know, God is in control. God's a big boy and he's doing what he wants to do. And that is to change lives, bring people, you know, people are won and lost one at a time. Yeah. And this testimony is just really a great testimony. So if you could just watch the whole testimony, and it is probably 2/3 in when something dramatic is going to happen. And it brought me to a tear to my eye. So let me just show it. I was just so touched by it.
So tell us today. So today we just got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It was probably one of the most emotional days, because I think for anybody that wants to make this decision has probably looked within themselves and has seeked very hard to understand some kind of spiritual moral compass to guide them into some bigger purpose, some meaning as to why we're all here in the first place. And I think that when you open up that book, the Bible, and you really, really understand the word of what is written, and then to take a pledge and really, really take that part of your life where you're saying to your soul, oh my gosh, you have the realization that Jesus Christ really was here, really did die for our sins, and to understand that at one day that our soul will rejoice in that moment is just magical. So what has happened today, I can't even begin to tell you the amount of gratitude that my husband and I have for everybody partaking and allowing this to happen. And this is just phenomenal.
Amazing.
And I can't wait to continue to walk this path with Jesus in our hearts, literally every day. So thank you. Yes, thank you.
Amazing. Amazing. And what did you experience today?
It's, how do you describe death? It's very hard to describe the feeling of death, of just letting anything that I represented in myself, my ego, die before me. And even though I always had Jesus in front of my mind for my entire life, he only came through the door this year, smashed through the door unexpectedly, bringing more change than I could have ever think he would. And it's just, I'm so grateful that I have the opportunity to bury everything that has been in my past and have a complete new start without worrying of the past actions or the past sins, and just a completely fresh start. So thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity and for dying for us and showing us how we can walk as free men and women in your name on this earth.
Amen.
He's asking, are you wearing perfume?
This lovely lady filming, and my whole family know this. I've never been able to smell, and I can smell her perfume. I'm actually really quite shocked that I could get this breeze, and I had this moment of, oh my God, am I smelling something? And I'm not joking you, you're actually wearing perfume. This is crazy. This is crazy. This is crazy. This is beyond what I
is going on? I need to show this to my mom. She thinks I'm crazy because of doing this. I've been separated a little bit, but I wonder if why this is happening.
Bless you guys. Amazing.
Amen.
So she just got baptized and she never had smelled before. And then
And you could see her shaking. Like
her smell was restored right after she was just got baptized.
Yeah, yeah. It just a part of the healing, you know, a part of baptism, you know, some of the things that can happen, those that believe and you know, I know Torben, actually, that's where I first saw it. Torben had shared that. I wasn't part of his organization. He was an evangelist that really is heavily into baptism and many people get delivered and healed and all kinds of things during baptism. And in fact, he was, you know, in prison for 400 plus days until, you know, Clay Higgins from Louisiana addressed Congress, said, hey, this guy is a example of Christian persecution and he was freed. But anyway, yes, that was a great testimony. Just really touched me to see that. And God is doing things. And, you know, one last thing before you go into that is, you know, she was experiencing something she had never experienced before. And you could see how it just really, can you imagine what it would be like to be in the presence of God? There are senses that we probably have no idea what they would be like until we experience it with God, whether it be heaven or the filling of the Holy Spirit in a way that our body has never physically experienced. And I think there is more to experience out there. And she was very fortunate to be able to give and to actually experience something that we all experience for the very first time. But I think there'll be more for us and her.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think God is doing something right now. There is part of this awakening is not just awakening to philosophical or political truth or but theological truth. This is we're in the middle of a revival. We're in the middle of a restoration, a return, a return to the God of Israel, a return to the God of the Bible. And there's revivals happening all over the place. And one of them is actually happening here in our town. There's going to be a Santa Cruz Mountain Revival coming up. Proclaim Jesus, one of our buddies, you know, we're good friends with Joe and Rochelle. I know you guys are. And their team is going to be doing a revival at the Park Hall, 9370 Mill Street in Ben Lomond, California. So if you're around locally, you should check it out. It's going to be happening in March 24th. I think that's Sunday night. So at 7 p.m. So 24th, 25th, and 26th, three nights in a row. So come check it out. You're going to be blown away. They're seeing a lot of deliverance happening right now. Men and women who are getting baptized, they're getting healed, they're getting set free, they're getting delivered. And I just want to share this last little clip of what's going on with their ministry because, you know, this is a guy that I've been close to for many years and lived with us for over a year. But check out this.
This last Sunday, we saw God do amazing things. A dear friend of ours has demons come out of her, with shrieks and screams, and she chose to submit her life to Jesus Christ, be baptized in water, filled with the Holy Spirit. Two other dear friends decided to get baptized in water. God is doing extraordinary things, and we just want to invite you to come out and be a part of what God's doing. His presence is moving amongst us, and we're just so hungry for more of Jesus.
Yeah. So the this is going on. It's going to be happening this coming weekend and I invite people to come check it out.
Yeah. I've seen them in action firsthand, you know, when I was out washing clothes with the homeless, they would be out there feeding and praying. And I mean, they were just super just there for the people. And I mean, they would just spend time talking and praying and some neat things happening. And I just kind of from a distance got to watch and go, wow, that's awesome.
And they're returning to the God of the Bible. What we're seeing is a restoring of people connecting with their creator. This is how we were meant to live. And I think people are finally coming to the end of themselves and they're saying, I can't live without God in my life. And, you know, there was a major revival that happened before America was started in 1776. So, 20 years before, there was, you know, Jonathan Edwards and George Whitefield and some of the others that were preaching the message of the gospel. And George Whitefield was preaching for 3 hours without a mic to almost 30,000 people without a mic. And Benjamin Franklin went out to listen to him because he marveled at how this guy could preach for 3 hours without a mic and be so full of something. And he stood and marveled at them, you know. So this is the heritage of America that is a Christian America. It's a Christian American heritage. This is the country we know, right? This is America we know, you know. I think that song that just came out, right?
Yeah, and I'd like to close with that. I think right before that, this song, "The America I Know," was dedicated to Lakin Riley, who was recently murdered by an illegal. And I just want to show a little bit about her life from her roommate, and then we'll just close with that. That'll be our song going out. Is this "America I Know"? Let me just play this just to get to know who this young girl, you know, this was someone's daughter, someone's sister, you know, someone's friend, and just the beautiful life. Just, you know, she's at that prime of her life, college, and just these are just some random things. I'll just show a little bit just to give you an idea. Let's see. I may have lost it when I lost power here. So let's
refresh it.
Yep, that's what I'll have to do.
Is that the beginning of the music video, or there's the music video?
Yeah, music video is right here. But let me just, yeah, that music video beat out Nicki Minaj. You know, so
praise God.
Right under, it got number two. And let's see, where is it? Here we go. This is done by her roommate. Just the happy.
Sorry, you're smiling at your phone. You're on that plan. Down.
I just knew I wasn't going to be able to hide my face if I looked up at you.
I knew.
Together by her friend, her roommate.
There's a place I go to when no one knows. It's not home. It's a necessary thing. It's a place I made. Find out what I made. The nights I've stayed. Let it wash over me. I'm ready to lose my feet. Take me off.
Girl didn't hurt anybody. She had her whole life ahead of her. You know, when it's good. 22 years old.
Take it all in and wake up. That's my part. Day to day, I'm blind to see and find how far to go.
Oh,
everybody got their reason. Everybody got their way. We're just catching and releasing what builds up throughout the day. It gets into your body.
Anyway, it goes on, but it, you know, it was just you know, I have kids that age, you know, and it would just be devastating. I just feel so sad for that family. Anyway, I'd like to just end with this. This was a song that made it to number two on Apple iTunes this week, and it was a tribute to her, and I just want to play that. And it was by Latinos for Trump.
Yeah. Jimmy Levy. Hi, Rez. Yeah.
And we'll end with this.
Cool.
So good night. Let's see if this is going to play. I might have to do the same thing.
Refresh it.
Yep. I'll have to refresh it. Here we go.
Say your name.
Life has always been an uphill battle.
seem like we're going down from here. Everybody's lining up like cattle, cause they're all being filled with fear. If you speak up against it, oh, they might make you disappear. You gotta be the voice for your kids. Remember going out at night and always feeling safe. Now they're burning every statue on our history and faith. Oh, who is gonna stand up? Who is willing to be brave? And say this ain't the America I know. We were rolling down the window and the wind was blowing strong. We were driving by the ocean singing the same old country song. Oh, I won't forget the memories of all the good old days. Whoa, this ain't the America I know.
Yeah, we still shedding tears. I don't know how we got here, but Lady Liberty can't make it. Four more years. Don't know how soon I gotta come, but I hope he's near. But it's the future of our children that we fear. What was they selling on Wayfair? What happened to Pizzagate? Epstein's Island, was it more than just real estate? Biden for real, you can't even say the name. Lake and Riley, know your death will not be in vain. They gotta flood the border just to win the election. We went from masks and needles to natural selection. In 2024, they better not let Trump cheat. Demand paper ballots and voter ID.
Remember going out at night and always feeling safe. Now they're burning every statue on our history and faith. Oh, who is gonna stand up? Who is willing to be brave? And say this ain't the America I know. We were rolling down the window and the wind was blowing strong. We were driving by the ocean singing the same old country song. Oh, I won't forget the memories of all the good old days. Whoa, this ain't the America I know. The world is on fire. God, come take us higher. I know he chose me, so I can lead the way. The devil will deceive, so you must keep your faith. And I work for what migrants get for free. Oh, I know life ain't fair, but I'm still praying for you and me. The world is on fire. God, come take us higher. I'm still praying for you and me.
Amen. Cool. So we'll just stop with that, you know. It just, you know, just when you think, oh, Latinos are bad or something because of their immigrants. Well, no, it's nothing to do with that. It's illegals coming over. And here's some immigrant or some Latinos, and they are just praising our Savior. And they are great examples and a great voice. And I'm proud to be an American. And I'm proud to be brothers of them. And yep. So, you know, it's definitely a good thing to end on.
People who love God, people who love this country, no matter what race you come from, no matter what tribe background you come from, you're American. If you come here and you adhere to our values, you adhere to what made this nation great. And yeah, they're my brothers. Those guys are my brothers. So,
man,
those are the type of people we want to people that ideologically agree together, philosophically, theologically agree, care about what we care about. It doesn't matter what race you are. So
that's right.
Yeah. So I'm going to say a quick prayer and I want to pray for our nation real quick. So Father, we just ask that you would bless the United States of America. We pray that you would bless California. We pray that we would see a revival. We would see a return to the God of Israel, return to our God that founded this nation. We would see a reformation and a revival, that you would restore us to what we used to be. And that Father, that you would be glorified in this nation once again, that we would no longer be confusing minors about their sexes, and we would no longer be filling their heads with garbage, but we would fill their heads with the truth of the Word of God. And their minds would be connected to who you are and your love for them. And Lord, we know that there is coming a day, that in due season, that this one nation under God will be many nations, people from many nations bowing the knee to Jesus all over. And we know that the word of God says that one from every tribe, every tongue, every language from the world will bow the knee to Jesus and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Lord, help us to love one another and realize that men and women, people are not our enemies. We have a real enemy, and that's Satan, and that we're standing against him. And we ask God that you would help us to use the tools you put in our hands to turn this nation back to you, that we cooperate with you in it. And we bless California, and we bless the United States. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.